This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Fun Belt Podcast.
This is the Fun Belt Podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sun Belt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating.
Coach, there's some people that are saying that the Red Wolves are the favorite in the Sun Belt West. What do you think about that?
Well, I was telling somebody today, I think the Sun Belt West is probably the most competitive maybe it's ever been in the history of the Sun Belt.
Welcome back to Fun Belt Podcast. That was Butch Jones at the Red Wolves Caravan in Little Rock, which I got to attend. It was a lot of fun. We got to hear from head coach for the basketball team, Brian Hodgson. We got to hear from Jeff Puritan, the athletic director. We got to hear from Butch Jones talking about the new stuff that's coming along. Always a lot of fun, always a lot of admirable Red Wolves to hang out with. It was a good time. I know you guys go to those kind of events all the time because you guys are of high journalistic quality. Am I right, Tibbs? Tibbs?
Warhawk Roadshow. Not coming to Houston this year, but it will be swinging through Louisiana and headed to Big D-Town at some point.
I think I saw James Madison doing something, right, Shane? Didn't I see that?
They did. I skipped it. I don't know. It's a – I feel like if I should – they don't – there's not a lot of media at the ones that JMU does.
Oh. Well, you know –
they have a decent amount of media opportunities. I feel like if I show up, they might not say as much. And if they say something interesting, I'm going to hear about it anyway. So,
let me tell you something. Rarely do they say anything interesting. But I thought you'd want to see, you know, Bob Chesney, maybe ingratiate yourself to him, maybe become part of his tribe.
Oh yeah, I think they already feel like I'm following them around enough.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I always feel like I'm kind of cosplaying with the real reporters, like. One of the guys came up to me. I'm not going to say who it was because you know who he is, Tibbs. But he comes up to me and says, Jeremy, I admire what you do. I said, oh, thanks. He goes, you know what? It's like you have no journalistic integrity. You just write what you want to write. I'm like, yeah. I'm not beholden to any rules. Yeah, I make them up. Yeah. You two beholden to the strict laws of journalism. Not me. Not Howlraiser, no code, no honor, no ethics. That's me.
I need to find a new home. Maybe I should go independent, Jeremy.
Well, at least you'd be on a show with some ethics and morality.
Oh, I didn't mean anything about this show. I meant more about the purple exclamation ownership that currently has the rights to my site that apparently doesn't have rights or copyright or trademark or anything else. But that's a whole nother conversation.
I was going to say, Tibbs, do you want to dig deep into that? Do you want to cannonball into that situation before we start talking about Sunbelt baseball?
No, because it pisses me off too bad.
BetOnline is not only my favorite source of online betting, it is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Okay, we don't need an angry Tibbs burning a bunch of bridges tonight. Calm down, take a few breaths, do like what Abraham Lincoln used to do, write the letter and then throw it away. You know, just cleansing. You know, you never see it.
I thought you were going to say take a bullet.
You know, that's something actually probably happened with Tibbs, because he angers so many people.
I do.
Guys, business time. 4 Sunbelt programs invited to the NCAA tournament. Let's count them off. Who should count them off? Tibbs, count them off for us.
Southern Miss.
Yes.
Conference champions.
Yes. Well, the yes.
We got Shane's James Madison.
Yeah, they seem to get the RPI to get them in. Yeah.
Coastal Carolina, the head scratcher.
You know, kind of winning on what reputation? Maybe as a sort of farewell to their legendary coach.
And the team they were saying was number 64, but guess what? The top 64 make it. The Raging Cajuns headed to College Station. I was surprised. I wasn't necessarily surprised that the Cajuns made it. I was surprised that they were as low as they were on that last 4 in. I would have expected it to kind of be Coastal Carolina as maybe that 64th team that you had to argue to get in. But really, I think there are other teams even around the league, let alone around the nation, that were far more deserving than the Florida Gators, who snuck in, giving the SEC 11 teams. I mean, Lamar swept Oklahoma on the road, and they're sitting at home in Beaumont, which is bad enough as is.
Yes, I did see fans of Lamar pretty cross about that. Should any teams from the Sun Belt, maybe Troy, be upset that Coastal Carolina gets in, even though they really did not look like a championship caliber team at the end of the season? That's a question for you, Shane, by the way, because...
Okay. Well, you didn't specify who was supposed to answer that. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the committee, there was a lot to gripe about the committee. I feel like they did the Sun Belt okay.
Okay.
Because they did value Louisiana winning the conference championship in the regular season.
Yes.
Even though their RPI wasn't really there. And they did value Coastal having a good RPI and proving themselves somewhat in the non-conference, and then struggling a bit in what they viewed as a tough league. So I feel like overall the Sun Belt got a pretty fair shake. Now, you could always kind of argue whether Troy or Georgia Southern should have also been in the mix. But, I mean, I feel like the Sun Belt more or less got treated like a power conference.
Yeah, 4 teams get in. How can we complain about that? Dusty, do we have the right to complain? Should somebody like a Georgia Southern or, God, even an Appalachian State, could they have made a case to be a 5th team?
If Florida made it, you're damn right. We have the argument to make it. I mean, don't get me wrong, 3rd year in a row that we have 4 teams in the NCAA regionals. That's fantastic. I don't think anybody advances out of the regional action, though, because everybody kind of got some pretty tough draws there. But it would have been great to have 5. And if we were sitting at five, I would have been bitching that we didn't have six. So I'm never happy, Jeremy. Yeah. I'm content with the four we got, but I really feel that we should have had at least five in there, with Troy kind of being the team with the nod because of what they did in non-conference action.
One thing that Shane does bring up, though, it's kind of nice to see and hear and witness, is that the Sun Belt as a conference has gained enough respect to where you could look at a Coastal Carolina or a Louisiana and say, you know, they play in a tough conference, so let's cut them some slack. Let's just assume that they're playing very tough ball at a high level, and let's bring them into this tournament. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, they did kind of take a look at some things. Like, you know, Troy gets some good non-conference wins, but then they'll lose a series to a James Madison. I think they take that kind of stuff into consideration and consider, like, you know, JMU probably played their way into the tournament at Troy in the final weekend of the regular season. And, you know, that's because the committee looked at Troy as a quality win.
Did any of you guys catch that Georgia Southern Miss game?
How it looked like Southern Miss was going to run away with it, and then Georgia Southern slugged back into it, and then the other team went up. It was a great back and forth game. it's evident that you always go for two, though, when you see 14-11. That means you always got to go for two, Jeremy.
Okay. All right. I will write that down. That's great advice.
Well, I think if you want to see runs scored, watch the last day of a conference tournament where everybody's pitching is completely exhausted, and you'll have a good time.
Everybody's out of gas. The hitters are smelling the blood in the water. They've seen each other a number of times. Absolutely. So what is Shane, just to wrap a bow on this segment, when does the tournament start? When will we see James Madison, for instance, come up?
I think James Madison plays on Friday, but there might be some game. Are there some games on Thursday? I think there are, right?
None that involve Sun Belt. Everybody starts on Friday.
The tournament starts Thursday, but for the Sun Belt, we all start on Friday. Okay. All right. So, and one last question for you guys before we move on. I'll direct it to Tibbs. Tibbs, do you see, to me, I feel like you had said that you don't see the Sun Belt going too far, but if somebody does, who do you think goes? Who goes the farthest?
Man, that's a tough question.
Because they're all kind of the same team.
They really are. I think that you really got to kind of look at maybe Coastal Carolina, just because of that regional draw that they have. Sure, they have Vanderbilt. Sure, they have Clemson in that draw, and High Point. Let me not disrespect them. But I feel like that's kind of the one regional that if you can kind of find yourself there, and they've been there before, they have that motivational high of win one for the Gipper, sending them out on a win. It's kind of a close regional game for Myrtle Beach. I think they kind of have the best shot. I think the second best would potentially be James Madison heading over to play South Carolina in the NC State regional there, with Bryant in there as well. I think that's another one that has a good shot of being able to advance. But I'm telling you, NC State's pretty legit. The Cajuns are in a buzzsaw with A&M and Texas.
Why?
Really trying to battle it out and see who's better for SEC rights.
So it's only the top two of each regional there that gets to move on, right?
No. You win a regional, you go to a super regional.
Oh, I thought the top two moved on. Okay, my bad. Wow. You know why I don't know this? Because Red Wolves are never... You know, we haven't been in it since 1994. So I don't want to, you know what, I don't want to hear it, Shane, with James Madison being in there. You know, F you guys, I'm tired of James Madison just going to post-conference play. Just, I don't want to hear about it.
Just remember, at least you're not Marshall, who hasn't been in the dance.
Since the 70s,
the right? Tournament, whatever you want to say, since 78.
That's a long-ass time. I feel much better now. Thank you, Tibbs. I appreciate that.
Softball season wrapped up with three teams from the Sun Belt in the postseason. They all made it to Sunday, meaning they were all right there on the cusp of advancing out of the regional. One of the darlings of it, they got to hoist the big trophy, Texas State, led by pitcher of the year, Jessica Mullins, who joins us now. Jessica, welcome in. Four outstanding years with the Bobcats. You dropped 100 career wins. I don't know what we're going to do talking about Sun Belt Conference softball without you being in the conversation. Are you trying to find that extra year or even coming back as maybe Mullins, Jessica, to throw them off?
Oh, first off, thank you for having me. Second, I wish I could come back, but unfortunately NCAA only grants 4 years. So I guess, you know, my time is up and there's always room for someone else like me to come in. And I know that, you know, got to give the next generation a chance.
Your career has been just absolutely phenomenal, though. 222 strikeouts this year. You were definitely the one with the wrist flick to send people back to the dugout. What was there really an outing even this year or throughout your 4 years at Texas State that really stood out to you that you kind of look back and you're like, God, that was an awesome game?
I think I could say it all started my freshman year. The most memorable games were whenever we played Texas and Alabama and beat both of them in the same weekend. That's whenever I kind of knew, okay, this team is very special and we're going to be able to go far either last year or this year, and kind of proved to me that, you know, Texas State was growing in itself. But my freshman year, it was my second ever outing and I played against Texas and I held them for 8 innings scoreless. And I kind of knew that I had it in the works to be able to go pretty far in this program. And I knew that, you know, everyone in San Marcos was going to be there to support me. So that was a very joyous moment.
Once again, a phenomenal year, 131 ERA. Opponents didn't even hit 200 against you. What is the secret, though? How could I actually put the ball in play, at least, let alone get a hit, but put it in play against Jessica?
I wouldn't say there's a secret as a batter. I think I could kind of tell you a secret about being a pitcher, though. It's the mental game. You know, if you're not confident being a pitcher and you're not confident having the ball in your hands every single pitch, then there's no way that you can be this successful. And I commend everyone who's, you know, gotten a hit off of me, of course. And that just means that, you know, they worked hard at their craft and they're able to watch my film and not give in to the mental games that I played, of course, with the wrist flick and all that kind of thing. But it's confidence. I think the biggest thing in softball that makes you successful as a batter, a hitter, a defensive player, anything, is just mental game.
We do get another great pitcher coming back next year with Sam Landry from Louisiana Lafayette. Did y'all really talk much in the offseason or kind of DM each other, just kind of knowing that y'all were going to play each other, be competitors for those three games, but also kind of helping each other, knowing that y'all were really the faces of Sunbelt softball?
We didn't talk much. We actually went to the same high school, which is, really? I don't know if you knew that, but we were always huge competitors. Same thing with Sophia Simpson. We all three went to the same high school and we spent 2 years together before COVID. And Sophia Simpson spent 3 years with me. And I think we all just kind of shared our mental game and our growth. And all three of us, I feel like, have just grown characteristically and just as players and in general. And but we actually don't really talk much. It's really odd, but I mean, I feel like we've all just done our growth individually.
You have the potential to keep playing softball, being drafted 8th overall, the first Sunbelt Conference player for United Athletes, UA, to continue playing in the professional ranks. How great is that to kind of be the first from the Sunbelt to really get that honor? I know everyone's going to point to the person from JMU, I can never remember her name, that's in the league that really made a big name for herself, but you're the first true Sunbelter. She wasn't in the Sunbelt yet.
It's truly an honor. And that was Odyssey Alexander, by the way.
There we go. See, I can never remember things.
It's okay. It's truly an honor. And I just hope that I'm able to inspire girls that do come through the Sun Belt and choose to stay and choose to create a legacy, that they can do it too. It doesn't matter if you come from a quote unquote lower conference, like you can still make it big. And that's still the same thing that I preach to my girls whenever I give to them, and they're 7, 9 years old and they have a big dream. I keep doing, like, keep having those dreams, because you never know where you're going to end up.
We've had a good run here of Sun Belt Conference softball overall. What's it take for next year, the conference as a whole, to kind of keep that momentum going, knowing that there's no Jessica Mullins? Yes, we have a Sam Landry coming back, and I'm sure someone else will kind of fill your shoes or step up for another program. But what do you see now that you're kind of in the rearview mirror of Sun Belt softball? What's it take for this league to keep going?
I feel like every single year that I've played in this league, we've just continued to grow the game, and not so much as, yes, we're growing our teams, but like grow the game as a whole. So I'm like circling back to the mentality thing. I know that Coach Woodard, my head coach, she had instilled a lot of the process of developing a better mental game in any position that you play. And I think that that was huge success among our team. I can't speak for the other teams, but it's always been competitive. And I think that just continuing the competitiveness throughout the rest of, you know, the Sun Belt history, I think that that's the biggest thing, just continuing to get better and better every year. And I mean, choosing new blood to go after, just, you know, that's about it.
Well, we see you back on the field as a coach. Is that maybe a card in the future, not necessarily over the immediate future, but somewhere down the road?
It's been something that I've kind of thought about at one point. Of course, like, I have my dreams of becoming a nurse at one point, and or at some point, I do have the plans to go into nursing school, but I am passionate about coaching, and I love giving lessons to younger kiddos and just continuing to inspire them. So coaching may be a potential, you know, job in the near future, but we'll see where life takes me. I'm just kind of giving it to God and letting it be.
Whirlwind past month, what was the better feeling? Lifting the Sun Belt Conference trophy or making the plunge into the river with your degree in hand?
The plunge. Nothing can beat a plunge with your entire team. While I felt like I had my degree, I felt like we were just on top of the world, of course, after the huge win in the conference tournament. But being able to celebrate with my teammates was the biggest thing. And I know that that's going to be an irreplaceable memory forever.
We know what you can do underhand. Did Coach Trout ever try to get you to maybe suit up and throw overhand just across the way at the baseball diamond?
Oh, actually, no. He was, me and him joke all the time. And of course, like, I go back and forth with the baseball guys, and they're like, oh, like, let's do a home run derby or something like that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see if you can touch the ball first. And so there was actually a time, I think it was my sophomore year, that I pitched to some of the baseball guys, and they're graduated now, but it was just a lot of fun and just some healthy competition and just, you know, allowing them to realize that softball is a lot harder than it looks. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy when you're in gym class, so to say, and it's slow pitch versus getting that 67 mile an hour humming in there. It's a little intimidating, needless to say.
I mean, I would be scared if I had a hit against me too. I'm not even going to lie.
Making a big name for yourself, you had to have been approached through NIL, kind of getting that carrot dangled in front of you to maybe go to the bigger school, into the SEC, the Big 12, or anything like that. How did Texas State hold on to you? Because it's kind of unique that somebody is at one school for 4 years, especially right now in the NIL era. But then really, you kind of flew under the radar in Texas State, while, you know, you definitely helped put them on the map, is not the premier league of softball when you think about women's softball.
Well, I guess this story kind of starts back to whenever I was being recruited in select ball. I was really overlooked by a lot of bigger colleges, which, of course, my dream was to go D1. Didn't really know exactly how everything worked, because I wasn't very educated on what schools were the biggest, how their softball programs were, that type of thing. But I got a few offers from lower D1s, but they weren't exactly where I wanted to be. I never felt like I was at home. And then Coach Woodard and Coach O, Kat Osterman, she had messaged me and they had given me a chance. And they said, "Hey, we want you out on a visit." I said, "All right, let's go." And I got here, it was maybe halfway through my visit, and I pulled my dad off to the side and I told him, "This is it. This is my home. This is where I want to be." And I stuck true to my word. Coach Woodard helped me grow as a woman that I am today, and I probably wouldn't be here without her. And she helped me grow my game, and every single person that's gone through and that has helped me go through my journey has helped me grow as a person too. So, I don't think that it's so much as the Texas State program that's helped keep me here. It's just the school itself. Like you can't find these type of people everywhere. And I knew that. And I also knew that if I were to transfer anywhere, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And I was happy where I was at. And I love the Sun Belt Conference. I love the how confident or not confident, how competitive we are. And you just can't find that in every single conference out there. So I was just really happy with where I was at.
So great to hear that. Refreshing to hear that, especially in this day and age of college athletics overall. With that said, we have to ask you because, it's coming out. It's a big deal. Are you a video gamer at all? Are you going to plunge into the EA Sports and college football when it comes out?
I hate to break it to you, but I do not play video games. I do not. I mean, I might try it, but I think it would be a pretty cool thing to, experience, but I'm not a video game person. Not really.
Oh.
I
See,
know.
it's a peak and valley interview, Jessica. You had me at the highs hearing about how great Sunbelt is, and then you're like, no, I'm not playing college football. I'm done with it.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's all right. Well, Jessica, I thank you so much. We've thoroughly enjoyed your 4 years in the league and look forward to see what's happening next. Maybe we'll see you in one of the coaches' boxes sometime soon and making mound visits and carrying on the tradition.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
I love some Jessica Mullins on the field.
Yeah.
She broke my heart telling me she's not going to be playing college football. I mean, I feel bad for GJ Kinney. I feel bad for all of the Viva La Boob Cats.
Yeah.
It just crushed me that my favorite player will not be partaking in our favorite game coming up.
Not everybody gives a shit about college football video games. It's just the way of life, and you've got to accept that, Tibbs.
I think if they have some, if they include throwing spears or tridents at people, maybe that'll help get some Texas State people to play the game.
There should be a feature that allows fans in the stands, select few, to go out and raid the other team's stuff. Like you can take that big old bass drum from Purdue and steal that. That'd be fun. And you just have like a sort of a closet that you can keep all your raided merchandise. I need to call EA Sports. You guys got their number?
Like prank mode where
Yes.
during big rivalry week, you go steal a mascot or something.
Yes. Absolutely. Why aren't we on this EA creative team?
They
We
gotta
should
have something to add in subsequent years though, keep people buying it.
That's true. That's true. We should say for next year, this is what we should do. But don't tell them what it is. You guys gotta be smart. You can't give it all away. When Tibbs gets these guys on the phone, let's just play, let me negotiate. I will do the talking and come away with the multi-million-dollar deal.
Did you ever get your t-shirt from that video game that
I did not.
about a
River
year ago?
Raid. River Raid still owes me a t-shirt. Come on, Activision. All right, speaking of games, I want to play a game with you guys. Would you play a game with me? Shane, would you play a game with me?
I guess I'm a little
Okay.
wary of the way you're phrasing this question.
All right, I know it sounds like secret sexual. It's not. Tibbs, would you play a little game with me? It's a
I
little
was ready
world.
to know because you cheat.
No. There's no cheating. There's no winner or loser here. Well, maybe at the end of the football season. All right, let me just wrap this. Let me put this present this in a frame that you guys can understand. Vegas, of which Bet Online, our prided sponsor, is a part of that community, has come up with what they see as the projected win totals for every Sun Belt team, right? Which I thought was nice. You know, like not every conference, they don't even have that ready yet for every conference. But the Sun Belt, they have that ready for it. I thought that was cool. And I've checked them out. I've done my research. I know you guys probably have too, because you guys are journalists. You probably dug into the numbers, decide whether or not Vegas was bullshit or not. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little game of over-under. I'm going to cue up the game show music, and I'm going to ask all of you. I'm going to say Tibbs. I'm going to say Shane. I want to over-under. If you don't feel like justifying your number or your answer, you don't have to. But if you have a tidbit, that would be nice too. So are you guys ready to play? I'm going to start alphabetically. That way there's no chance that we're seen as like favoriting everybody. All right. First up, Appalachian State. Projected for 7.5 wins on the season. Sean Clark finished second last season with 9 victories. Now they're saying he's only going to get 7.5, which I guess means 8. Joey Aguilar is back. Shane, what do you think? Over, under, 7.5?
Over.
Over, yes.
Look at their schedule right now. I see 9, maybe 10 if things break right. I think that App State's set up for a good season. With Aguilar coming back, getting on solid ground, having solid quarterback play. I look at their schedule. I don't think they're going to beat Clemson, but, you know, other than that, they all look pretty winnable.
Tips, over under 7.5 wins, Appalachian State.
I'm stealing some thunder there from Shane. I think it's over. I mean, I think if they squeak by, I think that it's an 8, maybe 9 wins season. But this team has the parts to beat the over there on that 7.5 spread.
You know what? I'm going to, guys, it's going to sound like a broken record. I am with you on that. I think it's the over. 3 in a row. Say it's over. So, guys, get your money out because, you know, it's gold now.
I'm sorry, App State. I wasn't trying to jinx you. You're going to find a reason to hate me.
No, surely you've won their admiration. Second team in the queue, Arkansas State. Come in the Sun Belt West, where there is some upheaval. There's a lot of new head coaches in the Sun Belt West, a lot of new faces, people transferring in and out. They have Arkansas State at 6.5 wins. Tibbs, what do you think? Is that a fair number?
No, because they'll lose to ULM as well as several others. No.
They'll lose to ULM.
I think, what'd you say, 6.5?
6.5.
I'm actually going to take the over there. I think that they have a pretty good team coming back. They have a lot of the parts they need, a lot of maturity there. So I could see them also getting to the 7-win mark to go into the postseason.
Shane Metlin, is Tibbs crazy or is he on the mark?
He's pretty on the mark, I think. Ooh. I see 7 wins there. Like, and I could see it being one of those seasons where people get down on him a little bit. It's tough at the first month of the season. You know, they start Sun Belt play. They get Texas State early on the road. I think that's going to be a tough one. But then I think they can finish strong. And I see a bowl game, and I see 7, maybe 8 wins for the Red Bulls. Yeah.
You know, this again, we're all going to be in agreement. Because I see a team that, yes, the OOC, the out-of-conference, is tough. They got Iowa State and Michigan in that mix. They do get Texas State at Texas State, and that's tough. But Texas State, of the conference teams, they're the only one that doesn't really have any question marks. They're the only ones on an upward trajectory. Everybody else, it's a little bit fuzzy. So I'm going with the over, too. I think Arkansas State gets more than 6.5 points. Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Winners of, I think, 9 games last season. No, I'm sorry. 8 wins last season. Now projected for only 5.5 wins. 5.5 wins. No more Grayson McCall, the all-world quarterback. Shane, is that a fair number for the Chanticleers?
I can see it being close to there, and that's with them possibly getting off to a pretty hot start. I mean, they could start 3-0.
Okay.
But, I mean, the East, like we know, the East looks tough.
Always. You
know, we're gonna pick a lot of these East teams to go over, I think. And I don't know. Somebody's got to lose those games, and a lot of question marks for Coastal.
So, over, under?
I'm going to say right about, what did you say, 5.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right about there, 5 or 6.
Okay, so I call that a push, which is not the correct nomenclature, but are you saying push?
Yeah, push.
How about you, Tibbs?
I'm going the under. I think that we've been waiting for this time where the Shots have their dip, their down year, their reload, their rebuild, whatever you want to call it. 2024 is the year of the rebuild. They'll be back next year, but for this year, it's going to be struggle bus, and the Shots are going to go below the 5.5 mark.
Yeah, I know somebody really likes their quarterback, Voisin. He's an okay quarterback. Voisin, I think his name is. It's V something. I don't remember. He only played a handful of games last year, but I've already heard some rumblings that he's supposed to have a breakout season. Still, it feels like Tibbs, and I think you're right. We've been waiting for the Chanticleers to finally just kind of fall apart, and they did last year. They just managed to get some wins. But I'm with Shane on this. I got to give it the push. So two pushes and an under for this group here. Next group up, Georgia Southern Eagles, Clay Helton. I think, was it in year three? I think he's in year three. Davis Brin is gone. Caleb Hood is gone. A lot of the stars that kind of propelled them to 2 6-win seasons, they're gone. Tibbs, 5.5 wins. It seems like Clay Helton's sort of treading water in Statesboro.
Yeah, 5.5. I mean, I could see them pulling off another 6, so you know that's definitely the over. Is it pretty? Far from it. But guess what? 6 wins get you going to a luxurious destination of Shreveport, Louisiana, or Montgomery, Alabama, and
lovely city.
I'm sure Eagle fans will be flocking to those cities to enjoy some cold weather football.
Shane, so push? Are you saying? Are you saying
over?
Over. Over. You got the over. Okay. You're thinking 6 wins. Shane?
I'm going to go with the push because I honestly have no clue. Like, you know, we've had those. Seems like we designate a team every year where we just don't know anything about them or like what to expect. And I feel like that's going to be Georgia Southern this year. They grab, you know, they go out and get a quarterback every year. And he's going to be a gunslinger. And he's either going to throw for 100 touchdowns or 100 interceptions. And, you know, I don't know what to expect from Georgia Southern. I don't know what to expect from their schedule. Is at Nevada a winnable game, or is that going to be a tough one? Like, I don't know. Like, so I'm going push just because, like, sure, put them right in the middle. That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, and not only do they get Nevada, Shane, they also get South Carolina and Ole Miss. So they get like a pair of SEC foes this year. The schedule's
South Carolina State. That's the one I'm sure they're going to win.
Oh, did I get that wrong? Okay, I'm sorry. South Carolina's. Okay, that could be a win. But regardless, you're right. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, when Clay Helton came to town, he started on fire, really changed the look of the entire team, and came away with 6 wins. It's like, okay, well, that's the floor. Now, where's the ceiling? And then it comes away with 6 wins again. I had to go with a push. I think 5.5 wins is kind of where they need to be. Next game, our next group. This is the team we all love, right? The Georgia State Panthers. Started off the season last year 6-1. We're like, wow, finally. The Panthers are where they have promised to be for the last several seasons. Sean Elliott has them on playing on fire. They've got the running back. They've got the wide receiver. They've got the quarterback. Everything's great. And then it all goes to hell at the end. Sean Elliott leaves for as a position coach. They bring in Georgia position coach Del McGee, who's injected some excitement. But I don't know where the expectations are. Tibbs, they've got 4.5 wins up here. What do you think?
Sounds about right. I'm actually taking one of your pushes.
Oh, you're going to take the push?
At 4. Just because I think that they lost a lot from last year.
Yep.
Yes, McGee came in early enough to really have some of his stuff instilled over the spring, but we still don't really know what the Panthers are going to look like. They open up traveling just a couple of miles away for that Georgia Tech game. Not sure if we really find out too much against them. And then back-to-back home games against Chattanooga and Vandy. We may not really know what this state team really looks like until week 4 when they're hosting Georgia Southern, and then again Old Dominion the week after that. I think that's where we'll really kind of see, and by then the season's kind of halfway over.
You agree, Shane? 4.5 wins.
I think they could be a little over, because I see them doing well in non-conference. And I mean, it's always risky to kind of, you know, put your faith in a team that's not only got a new coach, their skill position players are basically all new. It's going to be a much different look. But I think the energy is there. I think they're going to turn things around, if not this year, soon. And I think they're going to get one of those Power 5 teams that they've got on the schedule. I think they'll beat UConn. But I think they're also going to show how good the Sun Belt is, because I don't see them really competing in the East, even doing those things.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be one of those things where we're all going to disagree. I'm picking the under. For the Panthers, you picked the over, right, Shane?
Just a little over.
Yeah, just a little over. I'm picking the under. I just feel like with the new coach, kind of, you know, not the most experienced guy, an Atlantean, everybody loves him, but still, you know, needs some time to get his feet wet. A lot of attrition on that roster. I'd be really surprised if they got to 4 wins. Next up, James Madison Dukes. A man, Vegas likes those Dukes. You know, the Dukes have established themselves as the benchmark for Sun Belt football, winning the SBC East twice. Let's not talk about semantics on that. But with great success, guys, comes decimation. Kurt Cignetti leaves for Indiana. He takes at least 13 Dukes with him. Jordan McLeod, he bails for rival Texas State. You got the new head coach, Bob Chesney. Shane, is 8.5 wins realistic for this team?
I think it possibly is. I'm kind of going push. Ooh. On this. I mean, look at the schedule. What? I think they win 3 non-conference games. I think their Western draw is pretty favorable for things. I think they're going to be right around there. 8 wins seems pretty close. 9 if things break right. That's putting some faith in the coaching staff that we haven't seen at JMU, but just basing it sort of what they've done everywhere they've been.
Tibbs, do you agree with Shane? Do you think that 8.5 wins is possible for these Dukes? The new look Dukes.
Yeah, I think 8.5. I think it's kind of the snap back to reality that I'm actually going to take the under. I think they're an 8-win team this upcoming season. Is that good? I'd sure as hell take it. But, you know, I still think that up to their standard, it's a letdown season. But 8-4, not a bad year in my book, and we'll see them in New Orleans.
So now that Coach Cignetti is gone, I don't have to live in fear that he's going to pop up in my trunk or in my closet or underneath my bed for saying something mean about James Madison. I think 8.5 wins is a huge amount of wins for this team. And I just don't see it happening with so much that they've lost. You got an FCS coach coming in. Not saying that he's not a good coach, but he's got, we've seen what G.J. Kinney did. We know that those guys can coach. But man, the expectations for the Dukes are not the same as the expectation for the Bobcats, where it's a little bit more relaxed. I have to say, the only thing going for these Dukes is that soft schedule, but I'm going to take the under on this. Here's the Here's another 8.5 win team, guys, that really perplexes me, and maybe you can help explain it to me. The Raging Cajuns of Louisiana picked to win 8.5 games. Thibodeau, does this make sense to you at all?
We've seen back-to-back 6-win seasons under Mike Zormo. The pressure's definitely on for him to get the team back into the national spotlight like it had under Billy Napier's leadership. But I just don't see where they have the skill set coming back to do anything beyond another 6 or 7-win season. At 8.5, taking the under. Still another great year in my book where they're headed into the postseason again. But just not living up to the hype of going 8.5 wins.
Shane, is Tibbs right on this?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards under. Not by a ton, but I mean, I count 7, you know, maybe 8 if things break right. But, you know, getting to 9, that seems like a challenge, you know, especially, I don't know. I'll be very interested to see them play our good friend at Tulane. And yes. See how that goes. I think that's where we kind of judge what kind of a team Louisiana is going to have early on.
Yeah, DeJormo, 13-14 is his overall record. Not very, you know, impressive. You know, the out of conference that he has this year isn't very good. You could get 4 wins out of that. But man, you know what? If they had kept Zion Chris, if they had managed to keep him from going to Houston, I probably have a lot more confidence in this team because I think Chris was the guy in the future, and now they're kind of going back to, well, we've got some throwback guys here. And then you have Arkansas State and Texas State in that Sun Belt West, both of them very hungry. I just don't see where the wins are coming from. I'm picking the under. So here's the team that always confounds me because I'm not sure where they are, except I feel like the head coach, Charlie Huff, it feels like I don't know if his head is in the right place right now. He seems to be in a bad space. He keeps, you know, like he kind of threw Cam Francher under the bus when he announced his intentions to transfer. He doesn't have Micah Abram anymore. He doesn't have Rashid Ali. He doesn't have a whole lot of the talent that he could lean on before. Marshall Thundering Herd, 6.5 wins. Shane, is that reasonable?
Might be reasonable, but I don't know. I kind of got to go under, you know, the more I think about it and look at their schedule. Like, that's a tough non-conference schedule.
It is.
It's, you know, like all the things you mentioned, I think Marshall can get back to solid ground, and I think they can even do it under Charlie Huff, but I think maybe it takes a little bit of, like, a house cleaning and rebuilding and then hitting the portal really hard next year. Like, they're not in a great place right now.
Is Charlie Huff the exhausted man that that comes across to me, Tibbs?
I don't know if he's exhausted. I mean, he did get written off and fired on the X or whatever by some fan account.
Yeah, saw that.
That published that he was no longer with us. 6.5 wins, though, you said was the over-under?
That's right.
I think this is the under year for the Thundering Herd. I think this is their rebuild year, much like we talked about for Coastal Carolina. I think this is the year where we kind of see some growing pains. I think that it's a make or break year when it comes to portal and off-season recruiting. But for the 24 season, the Herd are just living the under life.
Yeah, I feel like, too, that Charlie Huff had that moment where he was, you know, a lot of conversations with going into like a bigger job somewhere. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out for Marshall last season. And now I don't want to put any words in his mouth. There's just something off going on at Marshall. I think this is a 5-win season at best for her. So I got the under two. All right. The weirdest team in all of college football, guys. Old Dominion Monarchs, 4.5 wins. Is this a Ricky Ronnie? Is this one of these years where Ricky Ronnie just keeps finding wins underneath rocks and, you know, beneath some sheets in the closet, just finding ways to pile up victories? Or is this the year where the Old Dominion Monarchs are finally like, They're not very good. Shane, 4.5 wins, over or under?
4.5. Over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they sneak into a like famous toastery level bowl again.
Okay.
Or about that good.
Okay. All right. How about you, Tibbs? I mean, there's no longer Terry Jones, no Sean Asbury, no Wayne Matthews. They're all gone. No Lamarion James. What do you think of the Monarchs?
Let's get weird. 4.5. No problem for them. They'll easily get to 5.
Wow.
Maybe even push themselves into the 6 wins. Ooh. Or they'll break our hearts at 5. But either way, they're going over the 4.5.
Okay. Hey, that's I like the confidence on that. I have no confidence. I give them a push. I feel like 4.5 wins in that area, that's where they're going to end up. So call it cowardly on my part, but I'm not touching that over under. South Alabama Jags. Oh, you must be heartbroken, Thibodeau. The governor is gone. Takes a coordinator position in Alabama. And strikingly, guys, nobody from South Alabama goes with him. It was kind of like, oh, all right, well, you're just gone. Fine. Adios, Kane Womack. So South Alabama projected for 6.5 wins. Tibbs, 6.5 wins. That to me sounds like people still have confidence that the Jags can compete in the South, in the Sun Belt West.
Not falling for it again. Nope.
Don't do it.
Not happening. I'm even calling an upset. Northwestern State, week 3. Fork them. They beat the Jags.
Ooh, okay. Nice. All right. Well, do you agree with that, Shane? Do you feel like the Jags are cooked?
I don't agree with all of that. I don't see them with losing to Northwestern State. I don't think there's going to be any FCS losses for the Sun Belt this year.
The Sun Belt does not lose to FCS.
That's the motto.
Hold my beer and watch this.
It's another one of those teams where I feel like, you know, they can sneak right into that bowl level, 6 wins. But you know, one thing goes wrong, they might be in a little trouble.
So, over under.
I'm pushing.
You can't sneak out of that. You're pushing. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with under, and here's why. Yeah, I like Major Applewhite. I think, you know what, if you're going to go in-house, you might as well go with the OC. He's got a pretty good pedigree. But man, no more Carter Bradley. No more Cullen Lacey, who goes to Louisville. No more Yam Banks, who goes to Ole Miss. No more Marquise Robinson, who goes to Arkansas. No more Khalil Jacobs, who goes to Missouri. Nobody going to Alabama. Kind of strange to me. Anyway, they've got the light OOC, but I'm going to go with the under. I think the Jags had their window, and the window has closed. Next guy. All right, we got 3 more. No, we got 4 more, guys. Can you push with me? You're with me.
See what you did.
Yeah. We'll just push them all. Southern Miss Golden Eagles, 4.5 wins. Ooh, boy, they're not going to like that in Hattiesburg. Are they, Tibbs?
Not in the least bit, but that sounds pretty realistic to me. I mean, you kick off the season with kind of 4 pretty tough games of non-conference. Going to Kentucky, a southeastern Louisiana team that's always the transfer portal heavy and JUCO heavy team. You get South Florida, then Jacksonville State. If you can survive that gauntlet, okay, welcome to the Sun Belt. You get to host the Raging Cajuns to kick off the conference schedule. I just don't see where that's a favorable schedule to allow the Golden Eagles to really thrive this upcoming season.
So you're betting the over or the under?
Way under.
Ooh. All right. So strong opinions from Tibbs. Jane, are your opinions just as strong?
Not as strong, but I think they're right at the push or under level. I see like maybe 5 games where they're not necessarily a big upset if they win, but like I don't think they're going to win all those. And you know, a game like at Jacksonville State is, I think, kind of the key right there. If they win that one, they might have a chance, but they don't, and that's on the road. I don't see them getting past 4 wins.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. So you're going over or under?
Under.
Okay. You know, I thought Will Hall and Southern Miss closed out the season pretty feisty last year. You know, they started the season just getting destroyed. They sort of started figuring things out. Hattiesburg kind of stopped talking about, we got to throw this guy off the airplane. So he got busy this offseason, guys. He came back with the second highest rated overall recruiting high school and transfer class, including picking up Florida State's Peyton Rodemaker, the quarterback. So now they have a pretty, you know, pretty good quarterback behind center. You know, that's something they've been struggling with. Yes, they open with Kentucky, but then they have a winnable OOC slate. You know, they get Louisiana, Arkansas State, and South Alabama all in Hattiesburg. This is my wild card, guys. I'm taking the over. Texas State Bobcats. The last of three Sun Belt programs projected for 8.5 wins. Coach DJ Kinney, he had that fantastic rookie season with an 8-5 record. Vegas thinks he can do a little bit better. Thibodeau, I know you love these Bobcats. These Boobcats are your cats. What do you think?
8 wins on the season. That's still just under the 8.5, so I'm taking the under. But I gotta take Viva La Boobcats to be the early favorite for the West, and definitely 8 wins in the West. You're probably looking at playing for a big trophy there in early December.
All right. Well, Shane, do you share the enthusiasm?
I'm going over. If Jordan McLeod performs close to the level he did last year, like, there's not very many losses on the schedule if he's playing at that level.
You know, when they lost TJ Finley and had that whole quarterback debacle in the offseason, I was like, all right, this Kinney's not ready for the big time here. This is his first big mistake. Manages to get Jordan McLeod. That's pretty good. So they don't lose a whole lot in the portal. You know, they keep Hobart. They keep Mondi. They lost Ashton Hawkins to Baylor, but that's, outside of Finley, probably the biggest hit they took. And here's the red bow on it. The schedule, like you said, Shane, very favorable. I'm doing a push. You know, I can see these guys winning 9. I feel like that they can have that kind of season if they can keep their heads on straight, and if they can get past some of the tougher competition in the West. So I'm pushing. All right, so got 2 more here, guys. Here we go, the big push. Troy Trojans. Summerall no longer here. Conference champion, though, defending champion. Projected at a mere 6.5 wins. Shane, is that fair? For the Sun Belt defending champion.
I think it's fair. I might even go under just because, mm-hmm. You know, look at their non-conference schedule. Like, mm-hmm. It could be tough when you're breaking in new staff and, you know, a lot of new faces early on. I mean, there's not easy games in the first 3 weeks of the season.
No, so you're picking the under.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be a whole lot easier when you get into the Sun Belt schedule either.
Dusty, do you agree? Do you think that this is sort of a down year for the champs?
I think it is. I think they're back to reality this year. I think, as we've said before for several other teams, it's a reload year. There was so much talent that they had last year.
Oh, man.
With a new staff, a new roster coming in, it's going to take them a little bit of time to find themselves with the facilities, with the pedigree and the expectations that there is in Troy. Next year's great, but 24 is a struggle bus year. I'm taking the under.
Ooh, you know what? We're going to get a situation where all 3 of us agree. You know, John Summerall, he left for Tulane and didn't quite do what Cignetti did and just start grabbing a bunch of Sunbelt guys. But he did take 5, how many did he take? He took 4 Trojans. But Gerard Parker comes in. He quietly put together the 5th best overall recruiting class. 31 new faces, including a 4-star recruit in Marquez Dortch from California. Yeah, people seem to like him. They like what he's doing. Everything in Troy happens quietly, so even if it's kind of quiet, you know there's a storm brewing. They don't have Gunnar Watson. They don't have Vidal. They don't have those veterans to lean on. I think it's going to be a very struggle bus year for the Trojans. I, too, am picking the under. And the last team on the list?
The last but not least.
In this case, it might be the least. Because everybody sort of gets the benefit of the doubt from Vegas, except for the Warhawks this year. Projected at 1.5 wins, which is just kind of sorry. And at first I thought to myself, well, that's kind of, you know, that's an easy bet to make. You got to put the over on that. I mean, surely you can win 2 wins, but man, I'm looking at that schedule, Dusty, and it looks pretty tough. Dusty, tell me, is there more than one win on this card?
Hell yeah. I mean, you got Thursday night, Jackson State, yep, coming out of the gates. I wouldn't look at the scoreboard because it's going to be a live scrimmage. They'll do enough to win the game, but really want to see what all they have on the roster because there's so many new guys coming in that they don't know exactly what all they have and what they're going to do in a live game situation. So there's your first win right there. With that being a Thursday night game, you already get a couple extra days of practice, rest, recuperation for the emotional high game when UAB comes to town.
Yeah, sure.
Coach Vincent wants to show, hey, you should have made me head coach. Wow. Not just interim. You should have made me the full head coach, the real deal.
Uh-huh.
Come look at what you're missing out on.
Wait. Before you go on, they haven't named him the head coach? He is the interim?
At UAB.
Oh, okay, my bad. Okay, go on.
During the whole fiasco where Bill Clark retired, they shut down the program, that whole fiasco. Back-to-back T games. Yeah, Texas, as long as the check clears, is what it is. But then they get to go to Troy, and we just talked about how Troy's kind of down. Uh-huh. I mean, these are the opportunities right here where we're talking about being able to take that over. I'm taking the over all day long.
And are you taking this over, too?
I am, but just because it's so low. I mean, I'm not expecting a good year from ULM, but I mean, they're going to win the opener, and then they'll knock somebody off somewhere.
Arkansas State, we're due. Maybe
teams. You're not knocking off Arkansas
State. We're due.
They end the season, Arkansas State and Louisiana, they always get one or two of those. Like,
I tell you what, though. You know, okay, first of all, ULM, for the first half of the season last year, played tough football. I mean, those guys, they didn't get a lot of victories. But, man, they were like a hard out until the end of the season where everybody's just seemed to run out of gas. You get some new juice in there with Brian Vincent, who people seem to like, right? You get General Booty from Oklahoma. I don't know if it's a PR move or if Booty actually has some moves. I don't know if he's even going to be a starting quarterback, but you still got the Booty to show up for. I wussed out. I kept looking at that schedule going, I don't know where it comes from. I pushed, and I am sorry. I'm sorry, Tibbs. I wish I had more courage, but for what it's worth, I did go to our sponsor, betonline.com, and put $10 on the over for the Warhawks. So even though in my article that I wrote about this, I picked the push, in my heart, I put the money on the Warhawks.
Shane, it's going to be really awkward when I meet Jeremy in Little Rock and we ride over together to Jonesboro.
Yeah.
And he's got to deal with me for that hour. What is it? Hour and a half back to Little Rock in a car. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to do it live the whole time.
I'll dial in. No matter what the outcome, there is going to be 50% chagrin and 50% just balls out bragging. So just take for what it's worth. Because I'm looking forward to that game, Dusty.
That's it.
We're done.
That's all she wrote for football.
What a great show.
It's now Shane's favorite part. Ooh. Plugs, promos, and parting shots. I'm going with an other to kick it off. Tyrone Howell, former ULM receiver, headed north, signed with the CFL, headed to Montreal to play for the Argonauts. I don't even know if that's the right name, but yeah. I just made it up.
Toronto, right? Toronto Argonauts?
Yeah, Montreal, actually. But yeah.
Oh, Montreal. Montreal might be something. Okay, well, go.
Yeah, whatever. Montreal, he's up north. He's played in the CFL. It's amazing to see guys continuing to play their live out their dream and continue playing the career. Boogie Knight still living it up in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So Warhawks all over the world celebrating the over and the victory over Arkansas State in 24.
Not happening.
Shane, what do you have?
I guess it's a parting shot type of thing. I don't know. It's so you guys, other people might be kind of sick of James Madison and, you know, they're bragging that they've had this year. They probably will never have another year quite like this where they had so many teams in the postseason and various successes. But, you know, one thing they kind of made their thing this year was everything school, because they kind of got labeled as a football school maybe, you know, 5-6 years ago. They started having success in other things. They wanted to be known as the everything school. And I think you were probably going to start seeing that on t-shirts, maybe like a commercial, the kind of thing they run during games and stuff on ESPN Plus. It's not going to happen. There's another school that's already copyrighted everything school. I'm curious if you guys can guess who would have that. Who's been so good at everything that they copyrighted that term?
Idaho.
Georgia. Idaho, yes.
Idaho's a good guess. No. Jeremy's a little closer, though. It was awesome, which just kind of surprised me. I mean, they're okay. Like, fine. They've been good in some stuff. That surprised me. They were the ones who jumped on that right away. So
that's a lot of who was it?
Auburn.
Oh, the hometown, of course. Loveliest village on the plains.
Okay, sure. Way to go, Auburn. Way to seize your, whatever you think you have.
Jeremy, close us out there with your nonsense.
Just a warning to all you keyboard warriors, you people that find strength behind the paywall and figure that you can say things mean and not have it not be consequential. So Butch Jones told a nice little story at the Caravan. He was talking about how the Red Wolves had picked up a player, an FCS player, to be on the team. And somebody got on the message board and said, "Hey, name of player, we don't want you on this team. Your team is FCS. And not only is it FCS, it didn't even have a good record. You don't belong with us. You need to withdraw." I mean, just mean, why would you even say that? And so then, like, members of the coaching staff had to reach out to that guy and say, "Hey, listen, this is a kid that we see a lot of potential in. He's really good, and you're spooking him away with that kind of commentary." And fortunately, he took it off. That kid ended up becoming an all-Sunbelt first-teamer, Jacob Bear, out of Lamar. And the lesson behind this is, let your coaching staff do the damn recruiting. You step back, get off the message board, get off the Twitter, quit talking to recruits, quit talking to these kids, move back, get a life, get a coffee, take a chill pill, do whatever it takes to realize this is just a game and you don't need to be making people feel bad about it. And that's my parting shot.
Jeremy, did he name you by name when you called out this poor kid from Lamar?
He was nice enough not to expose me. All right.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.